From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the sixth day of November, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, Colin Peterson thinks Congress should raise the ethanol blend mandate from 10% to 15%. That in order to avert a surplus. He's concerned about the blend wall. And California voters have passed Proposition 2. By law, it will soon be illegal to keep laying hens, farrowing sows, or veal calves in cages in that state. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear how U.S. FDA's decision to allow cloned animals into the meat production system could be used to preserve rather than narrow genetic diversity. And at the end of this half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL, public radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Let's take a look at the numbers as they settled on a Thursday afternoon in Chicago. December contract in the wheat pit at 522.5. The soft red winter wheat settled 14.75 lower. March futures down 14.75 at 543.25. That March contract for the soft red winter wheat down 14.75. And the May at 557, down 14.75 as well. December corn futures at $3.78, down 12.25. March at 395.5, 12.5 lower. May corn futures 407.5, down 12.75, and July contract at 419.25, 12.75 cents lower. November soybeans at 899.5, up 4.75. January 2 cents higher, 906 the settlement price. The March at 915, down a penny, and the May futures at 924.5, down 3.25. December bean meal at 262.80, down 220. December soybean oil at 34.17. Up 15. December live cattle futures, 93.30. A settlement price down 97.5 cents. February, 93.12.5, down $1.32.5. And November feeders at 98.87.5, down $1.77.5. The January futures at 98.97.5 for the feeder cattle, $1.80 lower. December live hog futures, rather lean hog futures, at 54.82.5, 35 cents higher on the day. And the February at $60.60. A hundredweight down 57.5 cents. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil trading the December at $61.07, down $4.23. January at $66 and a penny, down $5.18 a barrel. December ethanol at $1.73.3, down 3.5 cents. Natural gas at $6.97.2, 27.7 lower. And December gasoline for the RBOB at $1.33.7, down 8.5 cents. Heating oil futures are trading at $1.94.5. That's diesel fuel 10.9 cents lower. And December propane at 84 cents, down 4.6 cents for the day. Gold futures now trading at $731.20. They're down just about a dime for the day, around there 10 points for the day. And Dow Jones Industrial Average downs at 88.08, and it's 330 points lower. The U.S. dollar at 85.87 is up just about a point for the afternoon. And the Goldman Sachs at 419.19, down 23.32 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own Ed Kieser. He says tonight in western Illinois should be partly cloudy. In eastern Illinois and western Indiana, showers ending and then becoming partly to mostly cloudy. In eastern Indiana this evening, mostly cloudy, showers and thunderstorms. Lows will range from 37 in west-central parts of Illinois to 50 in the southeastern part of Indiana. Tomorrow in the northwestern part of Illinois, skies will be cloudy. It'll be showery. Elsewhere in the north and central sections, some increasing cloudiness, scattered showers developing during the afternoon. In the south, partly to mostly sunny. Highs tomorrow will range from 42 in the northwestern parts of Illinois to 62 in the south. The extended forecast says scattered showers are likely Friday night and Saturday, especially in the northern half of Illinois and Indiana. A few showers will still be possible on Sunday. A weather system will approach from the southwest on Monday, and that'll trigger a few more showers in the afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural futures markets. On the line with us from ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, is Dan Zwicker. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Boy, technically, let's talk about this last couple of days. I can't imagine it's been awfully good for the marketplace. So what do you see? We'll start with the corn.
Well, we're still holding, but we're kind of down right at the edge here. If we don't hold these most recent lows that we've had, we put in the marketplace here. For example, March corn had a recent low here, about 380 here a week and a half or so ago here on, it was actually October 27th. 380 is going to be critical, I think, here for this March corn futures. And, of course, today our low was 92. So we're still 10 cents or so above that low. The market needs to catch in here. If it would catch and start turning higher, we could maybe read a little small head and shoulders bottom formation in the corn chart. But the key here is we got to catch and we got to turn around and start moving to the upside. Also is that this is the time of year that we really need to begin to see some seasonal strength as we climb out of an October low, or otherwise you can begin to kind of say that we're moving counter-seasonal, and in this case counter-seasonal would be down going into December, and when you get into counter-seasonal moves, they have a strong tendency to be pretty severe.
Well, that doesn't sound good. So let's talk about the fundamentals on both sides of the markets. What would you put on the upside fundamentals and the downside fundamentals for prices? What's there that is bearish or friendly?
It's kind of hard to find anything positive on the corn side. Just you can kind of look at today's weekly export sales numbers. Very weak at 471,000 tons, and basically for the marketing year, we're running 42% behind a year ago. Now, granted, a year ago's rates were very, very stout. So, you know, 42% maybe overstates some of the weakness, but it does show that corn demand is very weak, especially when we're only selling, you know, 500,000 tons or so a week. I don't know where the fundamentals are at right now on the positive side. I think there's maybe something in the distant. I'm sure farmers are telling you that input costs, production costs, and these kind of price levels are not necessarily encouraging them to plant corn for next year. But there's a lot of water going under the bridge between now and then. But at least here on the near term, you do have ethanol plants that are in very skinny margins or not very much profit going on. You do see downward adjustments in the livestock side or the feed side of the equation, and you just don't have a lot here on the demand front.
Could you define severe downside and what technically that might mean?
Well, it gets a little difficult. I think a lot of it depends on the whole global economy. I think that is you can kind of see that the stock market has had a couple rough days already. One thing you can kind of what's really interesting, which kind of tells you how global demand has just basically shut down. Back in June, it was costing $234,000 a day to rent a ship. You can rent a ship today for $3,000 to $4,000 a day.
Wow!
So that tells you that people that had any length in the ship ownership or had bought ships are into bankruptcy, and everything's being parked, and until everything is settled. And then, of course, you know, we continue to hear about financial concerns, lending. I mean, nobody's lending any money to anybody that has any risk associated with it. I mean, if it's a low-risk loan, you can get money, but anything that has any kind of risk, nobody's really loaning any money, and lines of credits are drying up. And I think that is where we're at. We're in a major global slowdown. And that's what's being reflected in Wall Street and here in commodity prices. We're just seeing a completely deleveraging type situation. You continue to see long index funds continue to move out of their positions. And until we can kind of get a bottom in this thing, it's kind of hard to find a bottom in it.
Well, what do you think a bottom is? And maybe we should talk about a stock market bottom as opposed to a corn bottom. Do you want to
Well, I don't. We're definitely doing some swinging between this 8,000 and 10,000, I guess. We'll have to kind of see whether or not we stay in this congestion area.
How about rather than picking the bottom? Where is it? And I think you've given this to me before. Where is it on the stock market if we go through that we're in trouble?
Well, I think if you start making new lows in the stock market, your chart people are probably going to look at this 2,000-point range that we've been in here between 7,900 on the low side
right.
and 9,900 or so on the upside.
7,888 or something like that.
Right. There'll be like the midpoint on that is going to be somewhere around 88 or 8,900. Then they're going to measure it off of probably the most recent high that we had. Up here around 11,000 or something like that, and all of a sudden it's going to begin to talk about a potential risk of something like 6,000 on the Dow.
Yeah, that would be fairly devastating.
That would be. Like I was telling Dave this morning, I mean, the markets are acting somewhat typical of when a new president is elected, and it doesn't make any difference whether or not they're Democrat or Republican. It is just the uncertainty of what that new president is going to do, who's the cabinet going to be, what the players are, because there's a big difference between running a campaign and actually governing. And I think, and then since we've elected a president in a time that is already in a financial crisis and a lot of uncertainty, it just kind of makes the situation more worse. And that's kind of where we're at. Until the market begins to get a little more comfortable with where are we going type thing, I think you're going to see a lot of wide swings and concern in the marketplace.
So that probably gives us through at least the time that Barack Obama would take office before we really find some new bottoming in the marketplace, or at least
I think so. I think that's what the market is going to be looking for, towards some kind of how that administration is going to shape up and who the main players are going to be and what kind of track record they have in the past and what are they generally thinking, how this thing is going to unfold. So, you know, we may be in this state of transition, both from a political point of view, also in a marketplace here, waiting to see how things are going to begin to unfold here with the new administration.
Okay, so you still didn't define for me what severe on the downside for the corn was. I assume the upside probably is in that 450 area.
Well, that's going to be what everybody's hoping for.
Right on the downside?
The downside, I mean, I think we're kind of in this 450 on the top side, 380 on the downside. This is a 70 cent range, so I suppose chartists, what they're going to say is that we start breaking above 450, you begin to add 70 cents on the 450, you begin to talk about maybe move back to the 520 area.
Mm-hmm.
On a break below 380, they'll subtract 70 cents from 380 and start talking about a move down to 310. Now, those are just technical approaches to the marketplace. That's just the way they're going to talk about it. So as long as we're within this range, and if we can kind of hold above the 380, there is a potential little minor head and shoulders bottom formation that could probably generate a move up above this 450, and then people would begin to start talking about maybe a March move up toward $5.
How about on the soybean side?
Soybeans, somewhat similar. Soybeans are more in a sideways to higher pattern. We kind of went down to the bottom end of this range in soybeans. We do have enough demand here on soybeans, at least to give us a little support. But I would say if we started breaking down underneath this most recent low here, about 48, 850 area, that would probably begin to open up the gates for, you know, a move down well underneath the $7 area, and we'll just kind of have to take one step at a time. But so far, so good. You know, I do want to emphasize that technically here we have carved out a little sideways to higher move, but it's important that the market begin to show some upward momentum in here, otherwise we're in a counter-seasonal move, and then that would tee us up. I think the whole key here is keep an eye on the dollar. The dollar is forming into a pennant-type formation or a coil triangle, and if we break to the upside, I think that would generate some bearishness for the downside in ag commodities.
Thanks much, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Dave Dickey is here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson says that Congress should consider lifting the required ethanol-to-gasoline blend to 15% from 10% to avert an ethanol surplus. Peterson says he is concerned about a blend wall when ethanol output equals the legal requirement to use the alternative motor fuel. Yesterday, Peterson also said that he will discuss with President-elect Barack Obama's officials his idea to begin work in 2009 on reorganizing the USDA. Reshaping USDA could take a year or two. The last reorganization was in the mid-1990s. Agriculture groups are criticizing a new California law that bans keeping chickens, calves, and pigs in cages, arguing it will increase production costs. California voters on Tuesday passed Proposition 2, which bans the confinement of egg-laying chickens, veal calves, and pregnant pigs. The California Poultry Federation claims it will cost about $1 more to produce a dozen eggs from cage-free chickens. Industry officials say that they expect the Humane Society to push other states to adopt similar measures and to encourage retailers to buy eggs and other products from producers who do not confine chickens and livestock. Rural America could see a great deal of new investment in energy and infrastructure under President-elect Barack Obama's administration, but the trade-off means perhaps that larger farmers will see higher taxes and livestock producers could face more regulations as well. Former Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack says, quote, "For the first time in a long, long time, agriculture is a key player. I think that ag is at the center of that discussion in terms of what our future policy is going to be and how we are going to continue to produce energy in a way that responds to the climate change challenge, but at the same time provides opportunities to rural parts of the country." The Bank of England slashed its benchmark interest rate by 1.5 percentage points today, a bold cut that far exceeded economists' expectations and reflected fears that Britain is headed for a prolonged deep recession. Meanwhile, the European Central Bank cut its main lending rate by 50 basis points today as the Eurozone economy slows. The move takes the ECB's benchmark rate to 3.25% and is the second cut in just under a month following an emergency 50 basis points reduction made on October 8th. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. There you'll find many things, including this program, Commodity Week. That's our weekly look at how the market's finished. And a whole bunch of other analysis. It's all right there at willag.org, including a way to subscribe to our weekend newsletter. Dave Dickey, by the way, writes that letter on Friday afternoon, recaps what happened in the marketplace, even puts it in graphical terms. It's simple and easy to use, and boy, is it good. It's just as easy to unsubscribe to that letter over there on the right-hand side of the page as it is to subscribe. So what have you got to lose? Not much. It'll be delivered into your email box if you don't like it. Just hit unsubscribe and we'll take you off the list. There are 2,700 folks on that list right now. How about you? Would you like to join? We hope so. It's all at willag.org. Now up next, earlier in the year, U.S. FDA ruled it was okay to use cloned animals in the meat production system. I'll have a report on why that actually might take place and some of the reasons it could result in the preservation of genetic diversity.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
Consumers have and will continue to make food choices that result in products that are very consistent. This is and has driven farmers to narrow the genetic makeup of the animals they choose to raise, says the University of Illinois' Matt Wheeler.
One of the things that we've done over the years is to push our consumers, and the consumers have driven some of this, to a, you know, you want a pork chop that's a certain size, or you want a steak that's a certain size. And by using technology like this where the input, which is the animals, are more consistent, the output potentially is more consistent as well. So, and I use the example, if I go to Kansas City or Kiev and I go to McDonald's, a Big Mac's a Big Mac. It's the same thing. And we've gotten used to that.
Not only used to that, but consumers often demand consistency. The animal technology Matt Wheeler referred to is called cloning. The animal scientist says you can think of it as making a Xerox copy, and if that copy is used for the breeding stock, it's more likely to produce a very consistent set of offspring. And Wheeler says there's a good reason to want this consistency.
And so if you went into the grocery store and saw a pork chop that was a 2-pound pork chop that was the size of a dinner plate, you probably wouldn't buy it. So the whole industry has moved toward what does the consumer want, and the consumer drives a lot of this, and the consistency for the packer and for the producer is one of the issues as well.
Consistency up and down the product lines make it easier to handle. Given that, a substantial set of consumers do deplore the sameness in food products. Still, most have fixed buying habits. There's some good news on this front that can actually be born out of cloning technology.
One advantage that this technology does give you is that you can preserve the genetics basically of all animals if you wanted to. So all the members of the Holstein dairy population, you could preserve those and you could keep diversity. So the example that you made is a real one. You know, since 1940, we've decreased the number of dairy cows by half and we've almost tripled their milk production. Okay, but we did that by narrowing the gene pool to highly elite animals that would do this. So you lost all those low-producing cows that may have had some good traits like good feet or legs or reproduction, you know, in the population. So that is an issue that and again, cloning is like making a Xerox copy. You don't get any genetic improvement. You just get more of what you already have.
A living gene repository. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. University of Illinois trustees will vote next week on a new dean for the Urbana Campus's College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. The largest college on the campus will be headed by Vice Provost and Speech and Hearing Science Professor Ruth Watkins starting next January. Pending approval, she would replace Sarah Mangelsdorf, who left earlier this year for Northwestern University. As the second in command of the provost's office, Provost Linda Katehi, he says Watkins has supported other academic officials and was in charge of strategic hiring.
A U of I education professor wonders if the new Obama administration may mean the end of the No Child Left Behind Act, or at least a major overhaul. Sarah McCarthy criticizes the 7-year-old law that requires schools and students to meet federal testing guidelines. She says it discourages young teachers in the neediest schools from using creative techniques that aren't aimed specifically at improving test scores. The number of illegal immigrants deported from a 6-state area, including Illinois, has nearly doubled over the past 4 years. Immigration and Customs Enforcement figures released today show nearly 11,200 illegal immigrants were deported through Chicago in the fiscal year ending September 30th. That's up from about 6,600 during the same period in 2004. The numbers include immigrants from Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Missouri, and Wisconsin. ICE Assistant Secretary Julie Myers credits more aggressive tactics for the increase, but she said more time is needed to tell if deportations deter illegal immigration. Tourism officials in Illinois say they expect a boost from Barack Obama's election, and they're doing what they can to capitalize on the Obama buzz. A Chicago tourism website invites travelers to experience the city the Obamas enjoy. The Illinois Bureau of Tourism plans to launch a 3-day getaway featuring Obama sites. And in Springfield, tour guides at the old state capitol may get new scripts. Catherine Williams volunteers as a Chicago greeter for Chicago's tourism office. She leads walking tours and gets visitors as close to the Obamas' Hyde Park home as the Secret Service will allow. I'm Tom Rogers.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Time to check in on the agricultural weather forecast. With us from Massachusetts this afternoon is Pete Levitt, meteorologist. Good afternoon, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, you are a long way from the cold and snow of South Dakota, but boy, they're getting hammered today.
Yes, they are. And this is not their first such storm of the season. That seems to be where winter wants to take its initial plunge this year. We've got snow falling across central and eastern portions of North Dakota and the central portion of South Dakota. It's still falling as rain in eastern South Dakota, but that'll quickly change over to snow later today and tonight. A low pressure system is sitting over southwestern Minnesota, moving northeastward, and the cold air filtering in behind it has temperatures now below freezing from central South Dakota northward through North Dakota. So, and strong winds, of course, is part of what constitutes a blizzard out of this system, with winds gusting up to 50 miles an hour in places in the central Dakota. It's not a very pleasant picture.
I suppose when it's that wet, you kind of like it to get below freezing if you're a farmer, so you can get heavy machinery out on the fields, but the snow's not going to do them any good, nor will the wind.
No, it isn't, and of course, that's the big problem. The three states that are so woefully behind in the corn harvest, North and South Dakota and Nebraska, as of this past weekend, they were only 27% harvested on average on corn, and that's way behind normal. That's about 40 points behind normal. And that's just not going to get into the barn anytime soon. And the problem there, of course, is though the crop is essentially mature, the high moisture content up around 20% means you just can't do anything with it until it dries down. With today's energy prices, you want it to dry down naturally. So all of that stuff conspires to make this a tough crop, and they've got tough decisions to make up there.
Yeah, the deer will be happy and fat probably later into the season, I suppose, in Iowa, North Dakota.
Well, yeah, and if the deers are happy now, the hunters will be happy.
That's true. They'll have corn-fed venison. Okay.
Yes.
Well, tell me about South America.
Okay, South America. Well, they were a little bit concerned in the center-west areas of Brazil because it was dry, and along comes the rains now. So they're going to improve. So the future for the recently planted soybean crops is improving in southern Brazil. The rest of southern Brazil is doing fine. And even in the Argentine, only one dry spot left around Cordoba province, and they've been getting some good showers. So all in all, I think things are picking up and looking quite much more favorably down there for the coming crops.
And I didn't have you give us any kind of forecast for where I am maybe over the next couple of days. What will we see?
Well, there we've got rain now in eastern Illinois moving on out. To the east, the rest of the state actually is starting to break some of the clouds, and there'll be some showers around, but it doesn't look like the bulk of any of this rain will be significant. The temperatures, of course, have been above normal this past week and are above normal today. They'll drop below normal, about 2 to 5 degrees below normal, as we move into Saturday, Sunday, especially Monday and Tuesday. Then the temperatures will recover. The next chance of rain after this, not until about Tuesday night.
Okay, thanks much, Pete.
My pleasure.
Yep, Pete Leavitt, meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Each and every Thursday, you have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.